Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my podcast with Memphis manager Stubby Clapp. This is presented by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Schnucks, and Ryan Kelly. At Hair Saloon, they've been around since 1997. You receive the perfect haircut. I go there. I take both my boys there. Hair Saloon keeps client notes on each customer, so on each visit, you can be assured that they know what you want, when you want it, in the privacy of your own cutting station. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. All that for just $22. For an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave. Think Hair Saloon for Men. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studio, and in just a moment, you'll hear from Stubby Clapp. If you're new to Scoops with DannyMac.com, every Tuesday and Friday, I have the Minor League Report with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Covers the minor leagues, every single level. I asked him recently about Stubby Clapp and his future after back-to-back PCL championships.
I think if his choice was stay at Memphis or take another minor league job, he'd definitely stay at Memphis. So, you know, the question is going to be what other, you know, major league jobs come open, and, you know, would he consider them to be a step up? You know, for example, you know, would a first or a third base coach job be good enough, or would he have to be a bench coach? You know, a lot of times guys want their bench coach somebody that they know and they work with closely. So, you know, there's a lot of factors in play, you know, including at this point in time, we don't even know which, you know, jobs are going to be open around the game. And by the way, there are tampering rules, so folks can't, you know, other teams can't just call up Stubby or call up his agent and start talking deals until October's passed.
So the next step for Stubby will be the Arizona Fall League. We'll get into that with Stubby Clapp momentarily. Did you know that Stubby is from Canada? He was a hockey player. That reminds me that Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill has great blues specials all season long. Join the party for all St. Louis Blues action this season at one of Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill's 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available every Blues game, including Bud Family beer specials, $4 Jack Daniel's cocktails, $5.99 Blues Sampler appetizer, $4 Blue Note bombs, and the all-new Golden Brett cocktail for $5. Watching Blues games, it gets a lot better. Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. Find a location near you at hotshotsnet.com. Coming up, we'll visit with Stubby Clapp, back-to-back champions in the Pacific Coast League.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The remarkable run of the Memphis Redbirds culminates in a national championship at the AAA level and back-to-back PCL championships. The manager guiding them, back-to-back Stubby Clapp, and he joins us. And Stubby, I got to tell you, you did just a remarkable job. Congratulations, and what a year for you and your club.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And, you know, my hat's off to the players and the staff and the way they pursued and persisted throughout the year.
I got to ask you, how did you do it with all the turnover?
You know what? You just keep plugging them in. You give them the expectations and you let them go. And, you know, we had a core of guys between Ravello and Mejia and Tovar and Hergett, guys like that, that when guys were coming and going, they kept things status quo, and they welcomed the new guys in and got them on page with what we were doing and how we were doing it, and we just kept rolling.
Who are your biggest influences in terms of not playing? You made it as a player, but in managing and coaching, who are some of your biggest influences?
Well, you know, there's been several. You know, as long as I've played, I've always paid attention to my managers and how they did things. And then, obviously, since coaching, working with other managers, when I was a hitting guy, I always paid attention to the way they did things. So guys like Galen Pitts, number one, when I played for Chief, I always watched him and how he held things, you know, to a high standard and dealt with players and interactions and stuff like that with the front office. Guys like Bobby Meacham and playing for Ernie Witt and working with Ernie Witt with Team Canada and stuff like that. You know, and Roy Silver was a guy that early on in my playing career as a professional gave me my first chance and you know, kind of gave me that opportunity. And I remember him being able to do that. And I try and think about that stuff when we get new guys in giving these guys their first shot right away and getting their feet wet, letting them know that they're going to be a part of something special. And, you know, so it's and the list goes on, and everyone that I've been a part of, I've always taken something away.
How are you able, with all the turnover, and it's great when you see a guy come up, and with the turnover that you had 70, almost 70 guys as a part of the Memphis Redbirds this year. How are you able for guys that were there day in and day out to say, hey, don't get down. Don't look at this as being, you know, we're going to be shorthanded. Our hands are tied behind our back. How do you keep the positive vibe going with all that turnover that you had?
Well, number one, you come in every day ready to work, and you're looking to accomplish that day's goals. You're not looking behind you. When people leave, okay, they're gone, and you congratulate them and wish them the best of luck, and then it's next up. And those guys knew that. So if we lost a middle infielder, if we lost an outfielder, those guys that were there that were, you know, maybe playing sporadically, they knew that I was going to insert them right away, give them a shot at that playing time. So, and same thing with the pitching wise, you know, as guys got called up on the pitching staff, you know, we had guys that stepped up and did a great job with spot starts for us and ended up being in the rotation for the majority of the year. Stuff like that. And as long as you're constantly looking to the future and what's next and getting ready to accomplish that next goal and not looking behind you, that's the easiest way to keep things positive.
You know, Stubby, from my perspective, one of the great things I love to see is a guy's debut, but I also love to hear the stories of how they're told that they're going to the big leagues. Were you running out of ways to be creative to get guys to the big leagues?
You know what? It just, you know, it always depended on the situation, where we were, whether we were on the road or at home, or whether I knew, you know, if I knew ahead of time enough to be able to be creative for them, or, if, you know, if it was a sporadic type of thing. So, you know, there's some special ones this year, and they're all special, and I enjoy it. That's the best reward about being a manager.
I was going to say, is that the best part of it? I mean, winning is great, but telling a guy that he's going to realize his dream, is that the best part?
Yeah, that's, wholeheartedly, yeah, that's it, right? Because that means that they focused in on their work, they've got it done, they've accomplished it, they've, you know, I'm sure they've endured something along the way, and they're getting to live out that dream. So being able to give them that news is a lot of fun.
How creative were you with some of these call-ups? Give our fans an example of some of the creativity of Stubby Clapp.
Well, the Dakota Hudson one was obviously the one that kind of went viral on us, where I knew a couple of days in advance that he was going to get an opportunity, and several times during the year, I had called him on the phone, and we were discussing his pitching schedule in Memphis and stuff like that, because we had All-Star games coming up, and then he went to the Futures game, and we were talking about innings and how much he was going to throw or how much we were going to back him off just to keep him fresh so we didn't wear him down. And every time I called him for something like that, you could hear it in his voice that he's kind of disappointed that that's what I was calling about. I wasn't calling to give him the good news. And so when this one came around, we thought that he was going to make his starts, and we had put him on a specific pitch limit. I think we were around 40 pitches or something like that, and then we were going to pull him. So that, for him, that's about an inning and a bit. You know, potentially two innings or whatever. But so instead of just telling him, I got a major league ball, and I wrote on the ball, "Congratulations, this is your call." And I put it in my back pocket. So when I went out to the mound to remove him from the game, I just asked him, I said, "Let me have that ball." I said, "You're not throwing that ball anymore." And I gave him the major league ball, and it had it written on there. So I let him read it. And then when he realized that he was getting pulled because he was going to the big leagues, that was a surprise.
Boy, that's just incredible. I got goosebumps. I don't know if you do, but I have goosebumps thinking about that and seeing the video. And we talked about it a lot. I mean, that's about as good as it gets.
Well, it was a lot of fun. That one was special, you know, and you know, being able to get to do it like that, and you know, for the moment that it was, and for Dakota, you know, the hard work that he had put in, and you know, he dominated that year, last year, and he got that opportunity. That was a lot of fun.
It started in Wayno's garden, spread to my kitchen, caught fire with the team, and now imagine the whole city eating my salsa.
Introducing Matt Carpenter's Bueno Mojo Salsa, available only at Schnucks and in stores now.
Dan, people always ask me, Matt, you're hitting the most home runs of your career. You could be the MVP, and the Cardinals are on fire. Is it really because of the salsa? And I tell them, yes.
So swing by Schnucks and pick up Matt Carpenter's Bueno Mojo Salsa. Go to Schnucks and go loco, folks, with Matt Carpenter's Bueno Mojo Salsa. I'm curious, Stubby, how do you balance development and winning? Because you're in the position to develop players to get to the big leagues, but ultimately you want to win, and guys learn how to win in the minor leagues too. How do you balance the two?
Well, I think the development part comes on the individual abilities, where you're starting to hone in, especially in AAA. You usually don't have a whole lot to deal with as far as an overall development. You're honing in on one or two things, whether it's base running, if it was stealing on the bases, learning how to get good jumps, or being able to read balls in the dirt on defense. You know, but it might be a guy has trouble going to his left. You might have, obviously, hitters at the plate working on their approach and being able to, you know, keep control of their emotions while they're at the plate so they can stay focused. You know, when you hone in on one thing like that, that becomes the development part right away, and letting them understand that you're going to have the failure. It's how you deal with that failure to come back for the next part. That's, you know, that's the development part. And then as they get better at that, they learn to win with it. They learn to, you know, they get better at that, at their individual stuff, and then they learn how to win as a team. They learn how to sacrifice an at-bat to get a guy over. They learn how to throw the ball to the right base, keep a double play in order. You know, they learn how to try and go first to third, you know, get a guy in scoring position with less than two outs. You know, and then it becomes that's the winning part of it. And then, obviously, you know, in the hitting part of it, you learn how to drive those runs in. You know, and on the pitching part, you're learning how to save those runs and not let those runs in. Being able to look back, seeing the infields in, and being able to pound a guy inside, get a weak contact or something like that. So that's how all that becomes. And when they do it all together, they learn how to win.
Absolutely. What's the biggest difference between a AAA player and a major league player? And I guess my question would be, not only the biggest difference, but what is it about that particular player that you deal with, because they're so close physically, what gets them over the hump to become major league players? What do you see from your eyes?
The mental side of the game. They can all hit baseballs. They can all throw baseballs. They can all catch baseballs. It's the mental side of the game as far as being able to control emotions and slow the game down. And when they get up there, for the most part, the game's pretty fast. It's a little bit faster than what it is in AAA, and being able to take that game and slow it down up there and be able to perform like they do at AAA is what gives those guys that special advantage, and they could stay in the big leagues instead of just bounce up and down.
When you won the first series, then won the winner take all, what was your message before those games to your team? What did you say to the guys?
Go have fun, play hard. That's it. That's the message. It's real simple. You know, there's no magic pill or anything, but Go have fun, play hard, and give everything you got to your team and your teammates. That's it.
How much are you paying attention right now to all the guys that you had that are currently going right now in the big leagues? Are you watching every game? Are you texting with them? What's it like?
I watch. I don't text very much unless something really special happens or whatever. I let them have their time. They're up in the big leagues now, and that's where I want them to focus. They don't need to be worrying about a AAA manager. So I watch from afar and cheer them on from afar, and you know, just proud to see them being able to help and produce.
Couple more questions before we let you go. Stubby Clapp, who has done just a remarkable job in the Cardinals system. How does a kid from Canada wind up playing baseball? Why aren't you a hockey player? That's number one.
I actually played 3 years of junior hockey before I stopped and concentrated on baseball. And you know, the only reason why I stopped was because I stopped growing. I was telling everybody, if I'd have been 6 foot, I'd have been on the ice, checking and fighting in the corners.
Do you still play a little pickup?
You know what? Where I live, there's no rink within 2 hours. Otherwise, I would. So. And I followed my dad around to the softball fields during the summers, and I fell in love with the game of baseball that way. And one thing led to another, got me a scholarship for school and paid for my education. And next thing you know, we're here talking on the phone.
That's awesome. You were the George Kisel Award winner. I was around George. I've been doing the games long enough when he was up with Tony La Russa and traveling with us. And I tried to pick his brain every single day. Get to the ballpark early, he'd be at the dugout, and you just talk baseball. What did that award mean to you, to take home the George Kisel Award?
It meant the world to me. You know what? I had a lot of time spent with George on the infield. you know, learning how to take ground balls, learning how many ground balls individually at each position there are. And I can still hear him telling me, you know, there's 13 different ground balls you can get at first base. There's 16 different ground balls you can get at second base. There's 18 different ground balls you can get at shortstop, and 15 different ground balls you can get at third base. And, you know, those numbers might be off right now, but I remember him telling us that. And as a young kid, you're looking at him, you're like, really? Is that really true? And then when he starts to sit there and he explains it and he breaks it down, you're like, wow, that's pretty easy. You know, he made it sound difficult when he first told it, but he breaks it down and simplifies it. And then when you get to apply it in the game, it slows the game down for you. So he was just a wealth of knowledge, whether it was taking ground balls and positioning or laying down a sacrifice bunt for your team or choking up and slashing the ball the other way with two strikes. He always had some kind of information to help you get better. And being able to get that award was really special because I know what he meant to me.
What's next for you? Are you going to the Arizona Fall League to manage again?
Yeah, we're going to Arizona Fall League. We'll be there October 2nd through November 17th, hopefully, and then we'll see what happens from there.
I'm assuming, Stubby, that being a manager at some point, you'd love to do it in the major league level. Are you hearing from a lot of people after you win like this? What's it like for Stubby Clapp?
You hear rumors and stuff like that. There's been no communications with anybody individually. I'm trying to lay low right now and just start to focus on Arizona and getting that team ready and making sure that everything's prepared for those guys so that they can have a good fall season and then go from there.
You've done a remarkable job, Stubby. Congratulations, back-to-back championships, and all the accolades coming your way. You've earned it, and then some. Great job.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you.